Good afternoon, everyone. I guess you all stayed home because you heard I was speaking. I understand. Look, the sunshine. The sun shining. It's God's Sabbath day. It's a good day. It's a good day. I hope you all had a decent week. I know it was a cold one. I know that, I'll be glad when next week comes. They say it's going to get up there in the 40s again. I'm going to say that's going to feel like summertime. So, but I hope you all had a good week, and I hope you're all safe at home and warm and cozy. We miss you, but we're glad that you're able to see the services and everything. So we had a good Bible study this morning, and God's Sabbath is always wonderful with each other. So today I want to go into a scripture that's been one of my favorites for many, many years. And it's 1 Corinthians 10:13. If you'll turn there with me, please. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." Now, I know that each and every one of us have had trials. And at times you say, "I can't take any more." And yet if you struggle through the last bit of that trial, everything turns out beautiful. But you know, we do have to finish whenever we have a trial. We have to finish it, because one way or another, if we don't finish it this time, it will come back on us and we'll have to finish it another time. I really believe that. Because that's building our character. God is building your character and my character to be His character. And to do that, we have to do what He wants us to do and to be able to overcome. And all of our trials are different because we're all different. We have different things that we have trials about. And we have to be aware of what's going on. So I want to go back to verse 1 on 1 Corinthians 10 and go through it down to that. "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea," which meant they were all baptized. "All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." This is right after they come out of the sea, walking on the dry land that God had given them so that they couldn't be overtaken. "Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." And then he tells us, verse 13 again, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." Our God is always with us. We need to make sure that we understand how much He loves you and I. And He wants you and I to be in His kingdom. His Son gave His life that we could be here and that we can be in his kingdom and we can be forgiven. And that's the only way, because we're all going to sin. We've all sinned and fallen short. You know, I want you to turn with me to Acts 7:59, if you would. You'll remember this very well. You may know it by heart. It's about Stephen being stoned. In verse 57, we'll go back to verse 57. It says, "Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. The witness laid their clothes at the feet of the young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." I hope I can become that converted. That if someone stoning me or going to kill me, that I will be close enough to God. And I hope that we all are, we can say, "Please forgive them." That's what Jesus Christ did with his son for each of us. His son died so that you and I could be forgiven. He suffered a horrible death. And because of the stripes and the pain and the agony, we're able to be here today. And we'll be able to be in God's kingdom. Do I think I had that much faith? Whew, I hope so. I hope I'll continue to build on it. I hope we will, all will, that we'll realize, will you give your life for God? Will you give your life to be in God's kingdom? Because that's what you'll have. If we love and serve God, we do his will, and we face up to the trials and things that we have, and they will be coming. We think we have trials now. With the way the world's going, we have seen nothing. We have been so blessed in the United States. God has blessed this nation so much, and it has turned so much from the very time that it was formed to today, when you see in the last few years what has happened. Satan has got the grips on this world, and we need to understand that. We need to understand that every day, we need God. We need Jesus Christ. We need each other to help each other, to inspire each other, to encourage each other, to be praying for each other, because it's going to get worse. This is just the beginning. We've never seen a world where they don't know what a man and a woman is. Never heard of that. We've heard of the lesbians and the queers. But you never heard about someone saying, "Well, I need to be transformed because I need to be a boy or I need to be a girl." And them give them hormones and stuff and allow it. And then they got it down where they're trying to allow children to make that decision. It'd been bad enough if the adults had, but they got it to children. It just shows how Satan works. He is out to destroy you and me and the whole world. He doesn't want any of us to be rejoicing when Jesus Christ comes. He does not want any of us to be there, whether to come out of the grave or whether you are changed in the twinkling of an eye. Satan hates you and I. He hates anyone who loves God or loves God's ways. But you and I need to understand that we're going to have to go through some horrible times. We need to understand what is really important in our life. In our life, the importance is seeking God's way, obeying God's commandments, and being doers of his way, which it talks about in James. We're to be doers, not hearers only. We have to be doers. In the society we live in, it's going to get harder every day. Sorry to say. Because we have to get built enough, close enough, love God enough, that we'll be able to face anything that Satan throws at us. And that's the only way we're ever going to do it. Because he is going to throw everything at us. You know, people we've known who've been in church for years and left, you know, are they going to condemn us? Hopefully they'll be repentant when they see what's going on. But what if they condemn you? What if your family condemns you? And they say, oh, how can you be deceived by this? How can you do this? How can you leave us? We may have to leave loved ones. We need to keep that in mind. We love our children. We love our wives. We love our husbands. We love our family. Aunts, uncles, you know, grandmas and grandpas. But what happens when it says time to leave? Are you going to say, well, you know, it's not as bad as you think it is. You know, it's not that bad, you know. And they're going to be begging you maybe. We need to prepare for that. Because you see, we love our children. We love our grandparents. We love our parents. And when things get tough, sorry, they may turn against you. Hopefully some will repent that we know and love and will go and be a part of God's kingdom. But you and I must understand, this life is only temporary. Only temporary. God has offered you and I eternal life. Do you want to change in 50, 70, 80 years? Or do you want to be for eternity? We have come this far. We need to understand that you and I need to draw closer to God every day. We need to keep in mind that when you have a trial, God will see me through this. Have the confidence. Have the trust. Have the obedience to listen to God and not listen to what anybody else says, because it can be from Satan. And you say, oh, but they love me. Nobody loves you. Nobody loves me more than God the Father. And his son proved it, because he asked his son to give his life that you and I could be forgiven of our sins if we repent. First Corinthians 10:13 helped me come through into God's church, so it really means a lot to me, especially when I was in the service. There's a lot of things that were thrown at me. And when you go through a terrible trial, and then you see it, and all of us have had them, where everything looks like it's just dark. It's just getting worse. It's just getting worse. I'm never going to make it. And then all of a sudden, it's gone. Have you ever had that happen? I have. I've had that happen a few times. That's because God knows that you're going to listen to him, and you're not going to turn against him, and you're going to finish the race. We're here to finish the race, not to just be in the race. We're to finish the race. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, if you'll turn with me there. It says, do you not know, that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. If you're going to run a race, you have to prepare for it. You can't just say, well, I think I'll go out and run a race today. I can run 3 miles. No, you can't. Not win it. I couldn't even run a mile. May not even run a quarter mile now. But the point is, we have to be ready for that race. So we have to continue. We have to study. We have to pray. We have to depend on God. And if we don't, we're not going to finish the race. And we're not going to be first. We are the first fruits of the living God. He's called us to be first fruits. That means He's called you and I to become kings and priests in His divine kingdom. And to do that, we have to be doers of God's word, of God's way of life. Every day, James 1:21-22, it says, you and I must be doers of God's will. I don't think my hands are froze up, but I'm having a hard time turning the pages. Let's go back to verse 19, maybe. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. We need to thank God every day for what we have become, for the knowledge and the understanding that He has given you and I so we can finish this race. It's by your faith, your trust, your obedience, and repenting when we sin. We need to make sure we always repent when we find out we have sinned. Sometimes we don't catch it right away. Other times, we catch it immediately, and we need to thank God and ask forgiveness and apply John 3:16-17, asking Jesus Christ to go before the living God on your behalf or my behalf. God is always there. God is always waiting. You know, on the prodigal son back in Matthew, it says, you know, the father was always looking for his son. If we have a sin, God is always looking for us to repent. He does not want to lose a son or a daughter. He doesn't want to lose anybody. He had his son give his life so we could all be forgiven and we could all be in his kingdom. We must make choices every day. We have to choose. Matthew 6:24. I won't turn there, you know it. You have two people to change from. You either love God or you love mammon. And who makes mammon look good? Satan. Mammon is what? Money, normally. That's what most people go away from. I remember people that left the church, and they said, oh, now I can work on Saturday. I can make money now. Had they hated all that time they came to church? I knew some for years, and they said that. I couldn't believe it. I said, you have been so blessed. In my mind, I didn't tell them, but they have been. They've been so blessed. And that I wondered, how long have they been thinking, oh, I wish I could work on Saturday. I could make more money. No, we don't want to make more money. We want to be kings and priests. You want to be in God's kingdom forever. A part of the wonderful family that is going to do what God sees fit for everyone. We have so much to see and understand. We have not a general idea. You know that He has a holy city. You know that we're going to be in it. But after that, do you know what He's going to do with us? Do you know how it's going to be done? I don't. I'm looking forward to it. I hope I'm going to be there. I hope I don't give up like others have. We can never give up. We have to finish the race. When the race started, what did you do? You went out and ran. And you got yourself in shape. And that's what we're doing when we read God's Word. We're getting ourselves more and more and more knowledge and understanding. And we're getting stronger and stronger. And then we can overcome these trials that come. Without that, we can't do that. We have to have God's strength. We have to have His energy. You know, it's hard to believe that I've known a lot of you people for 50 years or more. We've become family. See, the little ones here grow up and become adults, and you're going, wow, they're much better than I thought. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, see someone grow up, and you watch them grow and grow. And like I watched Mr. Barker grow up to a degree. Now he's my pastor. I didn't do anything wrong to you. Please forgive me. No. But I mean, you know, it's so good to see someone who was younger. I remember him as a teenager, you know. And I'd look at him and I said, hey, Ron's going to be my pastor someday. I'm not going to say what I'd done, Don. But you know, what a fine young man he's become. I call him young, he's in his 50s, but my age, I call everybody young anymore. So anyhow, I finally realized that I'm the old guy. That's the guy that you say, no, he can't do much, can he? No, not really, he's pretty well. But you know, when you see something like that, I mean, it's our own pastor. You know, watched him grow up and become a man, become a husband, become a father. And then he become a deacon, and so I become an elder. And then he become a pastor. What a blessing it is. We're blessed to have a person who knows each of us very well as our pastor. He loves you and I just as we love each other because we're His family. He's been with us for years and we're God's family. We must always remember that. You know, I got shocked the other day when I went over to see Jim, because I usually went to see Jim about every 7 to 10 days. And he got out of the hospital, so I was going to go over and see him. And I walked in, and Jim's laying in his bed, sheet up over him, up to his neck. The lights were off. I go, oh, he must be sleeping, so I just close the door, and I'll go see the nurse. I told the nurse, I said, how's Jim doing? She said, he died at 2:30. I said, excuse me? She said, he died at 2:30. I was there about 4. That was really shocking. So I went back in and I turned the lights on, looked at Jim, and I thank God they didn't have to suffer anymore. Because he had fallen about 4 times or 5 times since he'd been in there. He had a huge thing on his... They had his eyebrow shaved and had stitches in it where he fell the last time. So it was the worst fall he'd probably had. And, you know, I think about Jim and I say... I remember when I first met Jim, he's, you know, he wasn't outgoing, wasn't real, you know, always a nice guy. But you find out what traits Jim had. Jim could play music. Jim could sing, and Jim loved people. He loved to talk. He loved God. He used to volunteer to go out to these hospitals and do singing and stuff like that. They had a group of them that go out to different hospitals for years. What an example. What an example of giving and caring about other people, wanting people to have some peace, some joy. And he went to hospitals where most people are sick and need encouragement. So when you, as the old guy says sometimes, when you see something, don't take it by its outside cause. Only the inside. This is where God has to be in us, is inside. Has to be in our heart and our mind. And he only accepts one position, number one. He does not accept being number two or three on your list. He is number one. That is the only way we're going to be in his kingdom. I want to show, let's turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11, 25, if you would. Let's go up 23. This is Paul. It says, are the ministers of Christ I speak as a fool? Am I more in labor, more abundant, in stripes, above measure, in prisons, more frequently, in deaths, often? For the Jews, five times I have received 40 stripes. 40 stripes, five times. And he was still, what? Obedient to God and still teaching God's way of life. I forgot the minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And the journeys often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in the perils in the city, in the perils of the wilderness, in the perils of the sea, in the perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all of the churches. Have you had a trial like that? That's trials. That's an apostle. Are we ready to face our trials? Are we willing to face the trials? Well, the only way we're going to overcome the trials is if we love God, read and study, and pray. You and I need to make sure that God is number one on your life and mine. Because things are going to happen in this world as it's coming down. How soon? I don't know, but we saw what has happened in the last 3 years. Whoever thought that a person on the Supreme Court didn't know who was she's a lady. But she said she didn't understand the difference between a man and a woman. And she's on the Supreme Court. Can you imagine this happened 50 years ago? They would have ran her off with a whatever. But she wouldn't have ever been a part of the Supreme Court. Why they didn't ask her, don't you have a husband? Don't you know the difference? Do you have any children? Do you know how you got that way? They did not ask any questions like that. And they let her get away with it. And then they put her on the Supreme Court. You don't think the world's upside down? That should definitely convince you the world's upside down. We have been the greatest nation for many, many years. Since World War II, we've been the greatest nation. Because that's when we took over the money. Everybody went by the standard of the United States. Before that, it was England. Uh-oh, the two brothers. Huh. The second was going to be better than the first. And we were. But the other one, as they used to say, the sun never dropped on the kingdom, English kingdom. Because they had all of the world at one time. They were the country, and they were an island. Look at them. There they were, an island. When you get right down to it. And they controlled so much of the world. And then after World War II, we become the nation that everybody looked to. But you see how quick we can fall. The world hates us. The world hates the United States. The only reason they ever liked us was because we was giving out money and giving them things. As going back to the son that went astray, when he first left, his father gave him his inheritance, right? So he went out and he spent his money and he had all kinds of friends. When he ran out of money, he lost his friends. He wound up eating pig slop. And that's when he finally repented and realized and went back to his father. He knew at least he would be able to get fed. Good food, not slop with the pigs. The prodigal son learned a lesson. He had had his inheritance given to him. He wanted it. He knew what he wanted to do, and he was so smart, and oh, he just was, you know. And guess what? That lets you know what youth doesn't know. That's why you need to listen to the older people. That's why you need to understand when God tells you what's going on, that we need to listen. He came back happy to be in his father's family again. And he just wanted to be a servant. He wasn't expecting to be taking any type of a son. He was a servant. He just wanted to be so he could have food, clothing, and shelter. But what did the father do? Much more. But the point, another point that I like to point out is, you remember when he saw his son far away? He knew him. He knew him far away. Couldn't see his face, but he saw this human being coming at him, and he knew it was his son. That's how well he knew his son. He knew how he walked. He knew everything about his son. God knows everything about you and me. He knows the trials you and I have been in. He knows what we have went through. He knows what we've overcome. He knows what we need to overcome yet. And he's always there so we can overcome. But we have to be humble and meek and ask God for that help and guidance. And if you can't do it, we'll say, God, I can't do it anymore. Please remove it. You may be surprised. He may remove it. He hears us. He loves us. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to be close to him. And you out there who are suffering and different things, God loves you. And I just pray he'll heal you. But I know that you know that he loves you. And we miss you who are not able to come. But you are part of the family. And we pray for you. And we want you to get better. We want not to be so rough. But God will take care of you as he takes care of each and every one of us. There's no love like God's love. We think we love our children. Can you believe this world where people give away babies for abortions? Can you imagine somebody taking your child when you saw it born and taking it out of your arms and killing it? these people, I can't believe how hard-hearted they are. How can you take something that is breathing and kill it? And say it's okay. What laws have been broken? Well, the first law was, if you didn't want to have a baby, you should have protection. And second of all, probably most babies that are aborted are those who are out of wedlock. So the first thing you need to do is, I like when women, sorry, hope this doesn't get too bad, women say, you know, it's my body. Well, you should have thought about that before you had sex. It was your body then too, and you decided it was okay. So if you pay the consequence, I'm sorry. But please take care of the consequence. Don't kill it. There's people who would love to have children, who can't have children, who'd love to adopt children. And we kill many, many a year, sorry to say, throughout the world. Do you believe that hurts God? Absolutely. He loves that new child just as much as he loves you. To see that small child suffer, can you imagine how it hurts? It'd be like you looking at one of your children and having somebody beat them and stab them and try to get rid of them, and you're sitting there watching. And he's saying, how can you do this? Satan rules this world. You and I have to understand it and understand that God doesn't like what's going on in the world now. But he also knows that it's got to happen. And you and I are looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. We're looking forward to the day that we can be with Christ when he returns, and we'll be pulled up from out of the grave or changed in the twinkling of an eye and be a part of start getting this world the opportunity to know the God the Father and his way of life. That's what you and I are called to be. We're called to be kings and priests. We have a lot to learn. We have more to learn than we understand. How much will we be surprised when we start learning about God and what he has in mind for you and I to be a part of? Not for 50 years, not for 80 years, not for 100 years, but for eternity. He didn't call us for a short-term family. He called us for an eternal family to be a part of. And he wants you and I to finish the race. He wants you and I to understand. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9:24, if you will. We talked about it earlier. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temper in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. The crown that God has for you and me is for eternity. We will have finished the race. We will have crossed it. And God and Jesus Christ will be there smiling from ear to ear because you have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. And that's what our job is to do God's will, to learn how to love, how to be doers. If you turn with me to Hebrews 11, 1. We're going to be talking about faith. Your faith, my faith. We're going to talk about a few people who had God's faith and have went through what they went through and who will be in God's kingdom. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He was killed for that because he was doing God's will. He was killed for that by his own brother. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We must diligently seek our God. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. Moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of this household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Do you realize they didn't have rain like that then? They had frost in the mornings. That's all they needed. If you told people that, can you imagine what was being said to Noah when he says, why are you building this boat here in the middle here? I have to do it. God told me to. You don't know if he hired help. I'm sure he probably hired help. And they may even help build the thing, thinking this guy's crazier than loony. He's here on a piece of dry land. There hasn't been any water here in, you know, ever. Wonder what they thought when it started raining the first time. Huh? And Noah had to shut the doors, didn't he? God told him to shut the doors. Verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. We need faith, total faith in our God, total trust in our God, so that the trials that we face will be able to overcome. The pulls of the world will be over to overcome. And by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed at a ripe old age. And she said, you know, I'm too old. Nothing God can't do. Nothing. We need to understand that our God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, and the King of kings. And he has called you and me, and everyone that he's opened the minds to throughout the world, that we can be a part of his family as kings and priests. I just touched on a few of those, but we need to understand it takes faith to do what we do also. They had the faith. They trusted God over everything when family Abraham's family probably didn't want them to leave. They've been a family. But by faith he left and did exactly as he asked him to do. Doesn't mean he didn't sin. He's human too. We all sin. We need to make sure we understand it and that we know that we need to stay out of it. Turn with me to Revelation 21, 20, verse 1. You know it, I'm sure, quite well. I'm going to read through 20 to 1 to verse 6 probably. Maybe. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold upon that dragon, the serpent, the old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him to a bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. That 1,000 years is the years that we're going to be training and helping others to see and learn and have the love of God that God has given us. We're going to be helping millions upon millions as kings, God, of kings and priests of God. That's what our calling is to be. We want to be there? You bet we do. You bet we do. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them, and they saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witnesses to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That's you and I, hopefully. That's our goal, to be in God's kingdom, to help others. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years in helping these people. Do we have a calling? Do you realize how much God loves you? Do I realize how much God loves me? Do we let the world overcome us? We can't do it. We can't do it. Satan never gives up because he knows his time is coming and it's getting closer. And the time's coming closer for you and I too. Hopefully, to be in part of God's kingdom for eternity, because that's what we've been called to do. We've been called to be his sons and daughters and to be and be with him and help him finish the plan that he has for all this out here that we don't have any idea what it is. Being a spirit, you may be able to go boop and be at another planet. Can you imagine that? But what has God got us to do? Don't know. Do you think he's going to stop growing? I don't think so. That's my personal opinion. God has a plan. He isn't making all these planets for everything. I don't know what it is. But our God is a God of love. Our God is a God who wants a family. Because he has called you and I and many others to understand, so that we can be a part of that family. In closing today, I'd like for you to go back to Matthew 6. We know this very well, but we need to always keep this in mind. Everybody calls it the Lord's Prayer. It's the one that covers everything so full for each of us. We'll start in verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. When I go into my room, I look out looking for God's sun, because it brightens up my day, because that's God's sun, that beautiful sunlight. He's a light to you and me every day. And I hate it when it rains, but sometimes I think, well, maybe God's crying because of what he's seeing, and he knows that we need it. But it has to be sad sometimes when you see what's going on in the world. When you pray, do not use vain repetition. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. You go in your secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. You can have a 2-minute prayer to God, as long as it's sincere, as long as you're being truthful, where it's asking for something or praising him for something. That's all you need. I'm not saying that's all you should have to him, but if you're out and about and things happen, say thank you. You ever been close to a wreck and all of a sudden you realize, wow, how did I get out of that? You say, boy, I was lucky. No, no, no. You were blessed. You had a Father who loved you and had angels who could protect you. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ever ask. He just wants us to ask. Just as your little child. Sometimes you know what your little child needs, and all they have to do is ask. Or what else? Say, oh, I'm sorry, because he did something wrong. How many times has your heart melted when your little child says they're sorry? And you know they really mean it. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Everybody likes to eat, right? So we appreciate that daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's the God we serve. That's the God we're to be close to. He hears us. He knows us. He lives us. He loves us in every way. Verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We are to be examples of God and his way of life. When you look back and you see Stephen was stoned, stood up to those people, he was stoned to death because of what he said. And it was true. And it wasn't one stone. He had probably many stones hit him before he finally died. But he asked God to forgive them, for they know not what they do. When you read about Paul, 2 Corinthians 11:25, What did you think about that? Boom, 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 boom. And he was an apostle. We think we have trials. We think we have problems. We do. And we need to take them all to God. God just asks us to stay close to Him, to love Him, to serve Him, and to obey Him. With that, you and I will be in God's kingdom, His holy city, New Jerusalem. For Christ went to prepare a place for you and me, and all those who love and serve God. Let's be sure we continue as God's children here in Dayton. We continue to love each other, to love our Father, and to become more like Him. That we may have the joy that He wants each of us to have. Have a good Sabbath.